We're studying in the book of Romans, and so we will turn in the book of Romans there, 11th chapter. Last week we tried to accomplish 9, 10, and 11, and we're able to lay hold of all of that because it's quite long chapters. But we are now in the 11th chapter, and we're going to ask the Lord to bless the word to our hearts as we study it today, all right? So let's just bow our heads, and we're going to ask him, because he's right here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for all that you are to us. We praise you so much for your great faithfulness for us, Lord. Always, you are always with us. You are always taking care of us. And we praise you. We glorify you. We ask you, Lord, to bless this word of God to our hearts as we are studying, Father God. Praise you for your merciful kindness to us, Lord. We pray for those who are not here today, Father. We pray that you will meet the needs of those who might have been hurt in this situation we had yesterday with the storm, dear Lord. We know that you are faithful and able to do all things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it, Father. Hallelujah. So if you turn in your Bible to the 11th chapter of Romans, and this is the one that we're going to read right now. We are going to make just a little going back. In chapter 9, the writer is Apostle Paul, and he was writing about Israel in chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11. The first one, chapter 9, he was talking about the past situation of Israel, how that they, you know, were with God. They had many times with God, but then they failed, and they didn't always honor God, and that's what chapter 9 is about. And then in chapter 10, it's the presence, the time of Israel. And we might think, boy, Apostle Paul lived way back there, and my Bible says in 60 A.D., so that's a long time back, isn't it? Over 2,000 years, actually, about that back in that olden time. But there was a present time in Paul's life that showed forth what Israel was doing. And Israel has had a hard time. You and I know that right now they're in a war, and it's terrible. It's just been horrible what has happened. But, you know, I found out by just studying and reading other things, you know, that how many hundreds of thousands of the Jews do not believe in God. It's an amazing thing. There is a great number of people who believe in God. Some are in this United States. Some of them have actually converted to receiving the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But there are many of the Jewish people, even in the United States, that don't believe in God. And that's an amazing thing. But God is patient with Israel, and he is going to deal with them again one of these days, very soon, when Jesus Christ comes back, and he will deal with Israel again. And there will be people who, in the book of Revelation, it tells us that there will be people who will be great ministers of teaching about Jesus Christ. That's the 144,000 that will just go through the whole system of, over there around Israel. I'm sure it's probably there, but other places maybe too, witnessing for Jesus Christ. And so God has a wonderful thing that's going to happen. It's in his plan that there are going to be Jews that turn really to the Lord and Jesus. They don't receive Jesus is their problem. So in this chapter 11, we are going to talk about the future of Israel. And so in verses 1 through 12, there's a lot of information about the Jews. And we're going to read some of it. It's I told you last week on these where we want to kind of hit the highlights on some of this. But let's begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 11 of the book of Romans. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And as I said, this was long ago and far away, as Apostle Paul is writing this. He's way back there in the time of the very beginning of this church age that we live in right now, where Jesus Christ died for our sins and brought us into this period of time that we live in right now. But Apostle Paul is saying, has God cast away Israel entirely? No, he has not. He still considers them his people, even though many of them are not even in tune with God. And one of these days, after the tribulation, which is a terrible time coming on this earth, one of these days, where the judgment of God will be pouring out, there will be Jewish people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as we mentioned a while ago. There are different ones, and some will live on through the tribulation and then be in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ right here on the earth. So praise the Lord that God is dealing with them. He says in verse 2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. That's the Israelites. He chose them as his people. Wot you not what the scripture saith? He's saying, don't you know what the scripture saith of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they've digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. And what saith the answer God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. If you read in the Old Testament, a lot of times we don't read all our Bible, but if you read about God's dealing with Israel, they were so rebellious so many times. I was reading again, studying for this lesson, and just seeing all the times that they went against God. And even, you know, they split. There were 10 tribes that went over and began to just worship idols and everything else in the Old Testament. And then there are the other two tribes, which were called Judah. And they also didn't always follow God. In the Old Testament, you read that. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the earth. And what did the Jews do? They reject him. Some of the Jews believe, praise God, some of the disciples and other people that came and heard Jesus speak, but a lot of them were the instruments of getting Jesus crucified. They went to Pilate and different ones of the Romans and talked to them and had Jesus crucified. So, you know, this is what God has. He still loves Israel. They are his chosen people. And one of these days there will be many of the Jews who believe in Christ. And I pray for them right now. They're in a bad situation, aren't they? And they're going to have some help from God, or they will not be able to get through this. But you know what? I know from the scripture that they're going to be through. The Lord's going to, he's going to keep them. That's what the scripture, in the scripture, clear in the book of Revelation, it talks about Israel. You know, that's where I was referring to a while ago, that there are some of them that really do try to follow God. And right there in Jerusalem, there's about 100,000 of them that go through all the rigmarole that these people have to worship their God. But there are many others, like I said a while ago, that don't even believe in God. So it's an amazing thing to see. So if you read this at home, it would be a good thing. But let's just go back to verse 3. Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they've digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. This was Elijah, the prophet Elijah. Back in his day, the people of Israel themselves were knocking down the things of God and destroying the things of God and not following God. Verse 4, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee into the image of Baal. Baal was a big old monstrous idol thing, and it would be full of fire, and they would offer little children on the arms of that big old Baal that were red hot flames. Can you imagine? Israel did that. They were supposed to be God's chosen people. He had delivered them from Egypt and brought them out and gave them this land that they had. And yet they would do wicked things like that. But there were always a few, you know, that followed God. So this man, Elijah, was one of them. He was a prophet and he would witness to them. Let's read verse 5. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. A remnant speaks of just a little portion, you know, like we women, when we go and buy a remnant of fabric, it's just a smaller portion of what that's bigger. And God has people who do follow him. Even in the Jewish people, there are people that really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, recently, you remember when there's a lot of bombing in Israel right now. There was a wonderful, wonderful building over there that had been built by some believers and that were Jewish people that believed. They had built this wonderful building to meet and representing Jesus Christ and worshiping. And that was bombed during this last bombing that Israel has gone through. So God is working. Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So that is true. There are, the word election in the Bible there is means chosen, C-H-O-S-E-N. God has chosen. He would like all of them to be chosen. He'd like for all the Jews just to realize who they are and come and follow God and follow Jesus and all of that. But they will not do that fully until we come into the period of time that God is going to allow, and that's called the Great Tribulation. The 7 years of tribulation that's going to come on this earth, it's going to be very, very hard, but there will be some Jews that believe. All right, verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear. This is in the Old Testament, Isaiah 29:10 through 16, I believe it is, or 14, that it talks about how, you know, God wants to deal with people. He wants to help people. He's a God of love. But oftentimes, people like Israel did not go ahead and really believe in what God was trying to tell them. They were disappointments because they were not following what God had told them to do. And so even, as I mentioned before, even when it came time for Jesus Christ to be here on the earth, and then who were the instigators of having him killed? The Jews. They decided he's not of God, and we're going to have him crucified. And they went and told Pharaoh, Pilate. They went to Pilate, the Roman government, and they got him to agree, and then they crucified Jesus Christ. So, my goodness, things happen. So then going on down, let's look on down to verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, he's speaking about Israel. They have stumbled that they should fall. They would not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when you're reading the Bible, this portion right here that we're reading was AD 60. So that's not very long after Jesus Christ died and rose from the grave. So we're not talking about today, really, here. We're talking about back there. But the Israelites did stumble and would not receive Jesus Christ as a whole, though some did. But it says here that, notice in verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Yes, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Gentiles are people that are not Jewish. I don't think any of you are Jewish here. Are you? No, I don't think so. I've known Christians that were Jewish in my lifetime, and it's really a precious thing to see them come to know Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. But the Jews, they were not completely up in coming and believing, and so God allowed more truth to start going to the Gentiles. Now, who are the Gentiles? That's us. If we're not a Jew in God's sight in Bible, we're a Gentile. Okay, so we are of a different race than the Jews. And it speaks of all of us in the whole world that are not Jewish. Okay, verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, in the olden days, as Israel fell, other people possessed their riches. That's speaking of natural riches. But we have something else that's more important, and that's the riches of the grace of God, the riches of the truth of the Word of God. It's very sad to think that Israel has not fully believed in God. To think of that. Many, many of the Jewish people that were in foreign countries that were taken, you know, during the World War II, how terrible, hundreds of thousands of Jews were murdered. But there are people that moved into other countries and they just lived like the Gentiles. They didn't even follow God. And so God is trying to deal with them. That's what this chapter is about. And when Apostle Paul was here, of course, as we said, that was the very beginning of the church age, way, way back there. There's a lot going on with Israel right now. And I'm for one that pray for them, that God will help them. It's just a terrible situation. All right, let's look at verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, he's saying God is going to deal with Israel again. That's what I said a while ago. He's going to deal with them again. And they will turn, many of them will turn and accept Jesus Christ. During the tribulation, the 7 years of time that's going to come on this earth before too very long, before very long, we're going to have, and we will be in heaven, hopefully, by then. And so we don't have to worry about that. But we know that the time is going to come because we have the Word of God that teaches us that. So, reading verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles. Now, as I said, you and I are Gentiles. I don't think anybody here is a Jew, right? Because we are just not of that progeny. We don't have that kind of thing. But we are Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Apostle Paul was called particularly to minister to the Gentile people. He wrote this book to the Romans. The Romans lived in Rome. He writes this book to them to help them to understand the word. He goes throughout in the book of Acts. He's traveling all over the place, ministering to people of different nations. That was his calling before God, to speak to the Gentiles, to teach the Gentiles about this wonderful thing that they too could receive the Lord God and especially Jesus Christ as their Savior. That was just important. Verse 14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. The word emulation means jealousy, jealousy. And so how did Apostle Paul, he thought, I'll go out and start teaching to the Gentiles and that'll cause my group of people, the Jews, to start wanting the things of God, to realize they're missing out. And so he thought it would provoke them to jealousy. I don't think it did a very, very good job because there were still many, many Jews in even this day that don't believe in that. For the casting away of them and the and the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world. The reconciling of the world means the Gentiles. So he's saying that when Jews will not believe, then there's going to be a way that the Gentiles can hear, and that has happened. The messages of the Word of God go forth to all people, not just Jews, like it was back in the early times. But they were preaching to the Gentiles, and many, many people were born again through that ministry. And the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. So the Lord's going to work that all out. He's going to bring in people that will really follow him. Let's go down to verse 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. See, God was dealing with just the Jews. And then they rejected Jesus Christ, and they were the instruments of the people that demanded that Jesus Christ be crucified. And so God, he set them aside, and he grafted in all the people that believe in Jesus as his people. And that includes the Gentile people. We are the children of the living God when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. There are a lot of people who we could say are Gentiles who don't believe in God. We know that. But God's salvation is still being preached today. God has allowed it that there are many people who teach and preach that the Lord wants us to receive him as our Savior and be born again and know Jesus as our Lord. And so that's what he's speaking about here. It's happened. It's happening. It still is happening. Praise the Lord. And so verse 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, those that fell away, those that won't obey God, there's going to be some terrible things happen in the future. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. He's warning people that they need to follow God. They need to yield their life to God. And so that God will help us out, take care of us. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. He's speaking about the Jews. The Jews that believe in God, even right now, there are people that are witnessing to the Jews. And as they come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to receive a lot of good things from God. Hallelujah. And so this is what the rest of this keeps going on. But let's look in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Apostle Paul is trying to explain to them that God is dealing with not just Jews, but he's dealing with all people who will receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Jews were God's chosen people, but they were always obedient to God either. So God is not just dealing with them. He's dealing with whosoever will come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. What is the fullness of the Gentiles? It doesn't mean that all the Gentiles are just going to get wonderful. That's not what it means. It means there is going to be a time that God is dealing with people of being born again, accepting Jesus. There's a time. It started with Jesus on the cross. It's gone through all this age, over 2,000 years since Jesus was here. And this message of people receiving Jesus as their Savior has gone forth and gone forth and gone forth. And that's what we believe, that those who need Jesus as their Savior need to accept Jesus, come before him and say, Lord God, I want to know you as my Lord and Savior. I want you to be my God. Help me, Jesus, to accept you, because you did die on the cross for us. You died on that cross that we might be born again, saved, come into the place that one day we will be in heaven. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I'm very glad my relatives are in heaven. My family, my whole immediate family that I had from the time I was a child, are all in heaven right now. My husband is in heaven. Some of my children are in heaven. Some of my grandchild, my grandson is in heaven. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad we have that assurance that we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says we will be saved. We are saved. Hallelujah. So let us turn then on over to verse 26. And it says, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, all of Israel, and I've already said this several times here, not all of Israel believe in God. In fact, not all of them believe in the religion that they have. There are people in Israel who are called Israelites who do not believe in God. And there are probably some of them in the United States and elsewhere. But there are Israelites who are worshiping God as they know him. But praise the Lord, there are Israelites who have received the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to make them able to be in heaven, to be there as the children of the living God, because they received Jesus Christ. That's going to be wonderful. It says, therefore, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Who is the deliverer? Zion is referring to the nation of Israel. So who has been the deliverer that came out of Zion? Capital D in our text. That means the name for Jesus Christ. He is the deliverer. He's the one that has set Israel free. He's the one that set us free. We can be the children of the living God. And I think all of us are. But if there's anyone here who can't say, I'm a child of the living God, pray and ask the Lord to help you to become that. Verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Praise the Lord. A covenant is an agreement that God has. He has an agreement with us. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he immediately puts us into his family. He immediately puts us into his church. Those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior are part of the family of God. It's so beautiful to think of that. He said, I'll take away their sins. And concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Praise the Lord. The word election means the divine selection. What is the divine selection? What does that mean? Those who know Jesus and have accepted Jesus as their Savior have been chosen by God. That's a divine selection. We are selected to be the children of the living God. If we have faith in God and we ask him to come and save us, then he is the divine person that selects us. That's beautiful, isn't it? For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Does that mean if God doesn't call somebody, he gets up there and repents? Can you listen? The word repentance here, it doesn't mean what we think. That is without repentance. What it means in the original is irrevocable. Irrevocable. What does that mean? Something that is said by God that never changes. God makes a decree, it never changes. It's the same, always. What has God said? He said, that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior will have eternal life. They will be in heaven. He has said all of these things, and it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true, and it will never be revoked. Anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and asks him to come into their life will never, never go to hell because they have eternal salvation, the scripture tells us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. These are Jesus' words. These shall not perish. They shall never perish. They'll always be with the Lord. Glory to God. Verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, but through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. There are many people in the world today who still have not believed. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Now, when he uses the word all, it's not just saying he's loving all the Jews or he's loving all the Gentile people over here that aren't Jews. When he says all, he means all people, no matter what kind of group they're in, no matter what nationality they are, he loves us all. That's what the scripture says, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves all of us. We're a different kind of church because we accept everybody. We don't just say, well, you got to belong here and you got to do certain things or you're not going to be saved. This is different. We are under the grace of God. We have God as our Lord and our Master. It's so beautiful. Verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Everybody needs salvation, Jews and Gentiles, regardless. Verse 33, of the depths, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That's one of my favorite verses. I just love that. Oh, the depth of the riches that we find in God. All the wonderful things we find in our Lord. Oh, glory to God. Both the wisdom of God that we find in the scripture and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. That word judgment means his decisions. God gives decisions. He knows what he's doing and he does what he's doing. He does it. It's his decision. He knows that. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad he does. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. His judgments and his ways are past finding out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? This is from Isaiah 40. He's quoting a scripture here from Isaiah 40, probably verses 13 through 15 through 17, that God has a great mind, and everything that he thinks about and does is absolutely perfect. And he has people that he loves, and he knows he's taught them the word through the Bible and through other people who have brought the word to them. And he loves them so much. He knows that they know the mind of the Lord. And he is their counselor. Oh, hallelujah. A counselor is a person that leads other people. And that's the way our Lord God is. He leads us always if we'll let him do it. You know, it's very important just to talk to God. Sometimes we have to make decisions, and they're really hard, and we don't know what is right, but there have been many times in my life that I've had to sit down and talk to God and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is the right way to turn? And he does always come in and show me what he wants me to do. Because he knows that we care, and that's what he wants from each of us, to talk to God and tell him, Lord, what is it you want from me? Help me, Lord, to do that and be the person that you want me to be. In verse 35, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. That's one thing that we know, that the more love that we have for God, the more love we have for Jesus, the more love comes back toward us from God. He's loving us. He loves us so much. But it's just going to get greater and greater and greater with our wonderful Lord God, who loves us so much. He loved us so much. There was a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Still is. But God the Father loved us so much, he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. What a love. What a love that is. No one has ever loved like that. What a wonderful thing. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, and who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. If we give our life to the Lord, you know what's going to happen? He's going to recompense us. That means he's going to pay us back. He pays us back. He gives us wonderful things. He blesses our life daily. He just blesses us with blessings unfolding in our life. And it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord as our Savior. Glory to God. Verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. First of all, for him. What is it that's for him? Our lives, giving our lives to him, letting him be our number one in our life, our Savior, our Lord, our guide, our strength. That is that first one, for him. And then through him. What does it mean, through him? That we don't go about, you know, a lot of times people do this. They'll say, well, from this time, I'm not going to do so-and-so anymore. They've got some kind of habit or something, and they want to get rid of it. And this, from this time, I will not do it anymore. And they're dependent on themselves. And you know what happens? They do it. We're not capable of ourselves to do that. So the words there that we read, through him, let him be the one that gives us the strength. Let him be the one that guides our life. And he will be right here with us all the time, helping us get through things. Through things means a lot of things. Like you all, I've told you before, I lost a child. My little boy died at 11 months old. You know, all the things that we've gone through in life, how could we have got through it? I tell you, I was broken for a while after that little child died. Muscular dystrophy, it was a horrible disease. And yet, that's what God allowed. And I had to take that. I had to say, okay, Lord, you will help me. You will give me strength. And notice it says it's not only through him, but it's to him. He's talking about us. He gives us everything. It's always to us because we're little helpless critters down here. We can't do it ourselves. So he gives us what we need. That's what he's saying there. Oh, praise the Lord that he gives it to us. Are all things, that's what the scripture says, all things are ours in Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I hope every one of us here today can take some time to thank Jesus for what he has done for us. Thank God the Father for being such a wonderful Father. What a great God that he can give us all of these wonderful things that he does for us. He's so faithful, so able. Oh, glory to God. So that covers chapter 11. I skipped a little bit, but you can go back and read them. Praise the Lord. But next week, now Lord willing, we're going to see chapter 12, which has a title of it called The Practical Side of the Gospel. So that'll be more toward us. than the ones we have just had.